Women's stories is a term that brings to mind the melodramatic weepies of the 1930s, and even earlier, the sentimental domestic novels of the 19th century that centered on home and hearth. But a collection of novels that have just been reprinted by two academic presses brings to light other kinds of hugely popular women's stories that seethe with intrigue, forbidden erotic desires, and murderous passions. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
In the 1970s, the first generation of feminist literary scholars exhumed the work of women writers and thus liberated the boys' club that was then the Western canon. Those heady days of discovery are now pretty much, but not completely, past. Two academic presses have recently republished some long-lost popular fiction by women, some of it startling, that gives readers that old feminist thrill of uncovering literary curios and even a genuine treasure or two. Edgar Allan Poe passes the magnifying glass to Dashiell Hammett, who then lobs it at Raymond Chandler. That's how the evolution of the American detective tale is commonly understood. And it's a crime, because two best-selling American women of mystery, Anna Katharine Green and Meta Fuller Victor, are missing from that lineup. To rectify the offense, Duke University Press has just brought out two thick paperbacks, each containing novels by each of these women, as well as smart introductory essays about their work. The name Anna Katharine Green is hardly unknown to detective fiction aficionados. Her best-selling 1878 locked room mystery, The Leavenworth Case, has been kept in print erratically. But the two novels Duke has reprinted, That Affair Next Door and Lost Man's Lane, are real eye-openers because of the radically new type of detective they introduce. In That Affair Next Door, which Green wrote in 1897, the character of the old maid Snoop was born in the shape of New York City spinster Amelia Butterworth. More egotistical than her famous successor, Agatha Christie's Miss Marple, Butterworth is always congratulating herself on her nerves of iron and on noticing clues that only a lady of quality would catch, like the department store origins of a dress on a corpse. Butterworth is meant to be funny, and she is, but in a Falstaffian kind of way. So to my taste, the greater find here is Meta Victor Fuller, and particularly her first novel, The Dead Letter. The Dead Letter was published in 1868, and the introduction claims it's the first American detective novel. Not the first written by a woman, just the. Remember, Poe, the father of the form, wrote only detective fiction short stories. The Dead Letter is soaked in Gothic atmosphere. It opens on a dark and stormy night in a house in the farmlands outside New York City where a young woman waits for her fiancé who never arrives, alive. Post-Civil War politics come into play in references to the recent annexation of California and the possibility of annexing Cuba. But domestic geography is what really distinguishes The Dead Letter, particularly the hemmed-in rooms and the constrained possibilities that mark the female characters' lives. Now on to some real genre slumming. The Feminist Press has just inaugurated a new reprint series called Femme Fatales, Women Write Pulp. The first three novels to appear give readers a good, rancid taste of pulp categories. In a Lonely Place was the 1947 noir novel by Dorothy B. Hughes that inspired the classic film noir of the same name starring Humphrey Bogart. But Bogart's Dick Steele is a far more redeemable creature than Hughes's monster. In Faith Baldwin's 1930s romance, Skyscraper, a young woman exults in the autonomy that her job as a clerk in Manhattan grants her. But she also itches for the safety of marriage. Charting its heroine's adventures as what was then called a bachelor maid, Skyscraper also takes a gritty look at low-wage jobs during the Depression. And Valerie Taylor's 1950s Potboiler, The Girls in 3B, which went on to have a second life as a cleaned-up comic strip, tells the tale of three country gals who each make their way to Chicago. two settle into marriages after brushes with lecherous bosses and beastly beatniks. But the third finds fulfillment in a lesbian relationship. Taylor's is one of the few pre-Stonewall novels, pulp or otherwise, where the sapphist heroines don't kill themselves or grimly resolve to go straight. I can't make claims of great literary value for any of these pulps, but they're certainly a lot of fun to read, as well as illuminating sociologically. The thoughtful afterwards to all these novels will supply readers with excellent defenses against those critics who dismiss pulps as pure trash. Nothing's pure. That's what these fascinating pulp and detective fiction reprints show us. Literary history is speckled with shadowy outsiders, and even some of the greatest books have their origins in the foul rag and bone shop of popular art.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. A complete list of the books she just reviewed can be found at our website, freshair.com.